This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and let's get started with Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, fresh off his election victory on Tuesday night. And he joins us now. Mayor Walsh, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Hey, congratulations on getting reelected. First things first, what are your first priority when you get reinaugurated in January?
I think our first priority started yesterday, when I had a conversation with Sheila Dillon about housing. I'm not waiting for inauguration. We're going to hit the ground running, continue to look at the housing and continue to look at how we can create more housing in our city. I think during this campaign, there's a lot of criticism of the administration and not building enough housing, but we have built a lot of housing. We've built more housing than almost any other period in the history of our city, and we have to continue to do that to make sure that we can be a city for all.
Oh, so this is really interesting, Mayor Walsh, because, I mean, yes, absolutely. You've got the Boston 2030 plan, 55,000 new units of housing planned. But, I mean, what kind of things were you hearing specifically from constituents that, is there room for adjustments to that plan or new ideas?
No, well, absolutely. But, I mean, we've permitted 22,000 of those units in 3 years. And I think that, a lot of those housing, almost 9,500 of those units are moderate, low-income housing in the city. So we're going to continue to look at those areas, and we're going to look at the plan to see where we can make some adjustments on the plan. One of the things that we talk about in our housing plan or any plan that we have, the beauty about them is that they can change and they can be adjusted. And it's not something that we're stuck on where in the past you do a plan and you'd stick to it, meaning you'd be kind of stuck with that plan. Our plans are going to continue to change and evolve and adjust like they should.
Okay. Well, you won with 65% of the vote on Tuesday night. Do you feel like that gives you a mandate that people have really thrown their support behind you?
I mean, I know people always talk about the mandates and things like that. I don't know if it's a mandate. I'm honored by the vote we received. I think that I'm honored that, 65% of the people that went out and voted thought that I was doing a good job and that I should continue in this job. And we're going to continue to do it. We're going to continue to do the job that I've done for the last 4 years and try and build off of the accomplishments we've had. And I think that that's what's key here. I mean, I don't think that some people, I was reading the paper today, they're talking about taking bold positions on things and moving forward. I'm not sure what that means. I think that the biggest issues I heard about in the last 6 months of the campaign, and we knew about this, was housing,
yeah,
was economic development, was income inequality, which goes hand in hand with economic development. The education, continuing to make improvements in our educational system. We've made some real good progress. We have more to do. And then in certain neighborhoods, crime was an issue. Not in all, but in certain neighborhoods, crime and public safety was a concern. So those are the main four issues we need to build off of. And those issues, quite honestly, although the first three can take care of the fourth one. If people have a job and have opportunities and have an education, then there's less likely chance that they have to turn to crime in our city. And mm-hmm. I think that's important that, both short term, it's about creating opportunities through job training programs, and long term, it is by education and having kids graduate.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, I heard you say that you read in the paper that people are talking about certain things and you're not sure what that means. And I will grant you, I mean, there's a perfectly legit argument to be made about, like, columnists write stuff, whatever. Who cares what a bunch of journalists think?
No, I don't mean that.
I wanted to say is, I didn't take any offense. I don't think anyone does. I just want to say, I want to acknowledge that, everyone, there's a lot of chattering folks out there. They are my colleagues. I respect them. But one thing which I was reading, for example, Adrian Walker saying a little bit and Shirley Leung saying a little bit is that, okay, you won re-election. You actually had 2/3 of the vote. That's a strong showing. Some folks are saying now it's time maybe to focus, and instead of trying to accomplish everything, focus on 2 or 3 of the most important issues and see what kind of intense progress you can make.
You can't, as mayor. You can't do that as mayor. And actually, the person that talked about a mandate, I think, was Larry DeCara, so he's not even a columnist. It was Larry DeCara in one of the articles, and Professor O'Brien from U.S. Boston were talking about mandates. But as mayor, you don't have the luxury of focusing on one issue or 3 or 4 issues. Maybe in the United States Senate, in Congress, if the legislature could focus on 3 or 4 pieces of legislation to move our country forward, you could. But as mayor, you have so many different constituencies and so many different issues pop every day that you can't just focus on 1 or 2. So that means let's say I pick 3. Let's hypothetically say I pick public safety, education, and housing. That means that I'm leaving economic development off the table. That means I'm leaving basic city services off the table. That means that I'm leaving so many other issues that people, the environment, off the table. So you don't have that luxury as mayor. And I think that, you know, in the last 4 years, we've accomplished a lot across the board. That's why you have people that are working for you. That's why you have a cabinet and empower the cabinet. I was reading something last night that was a synopsis of Kevin White's was talking about in 1999 at a campus about his term as mayor, and that, you know, he surrounded himself with young bright people and allowed them to do their job. And I think if you do that, you can accomplish a lot as an administration. But as a mayor, you can't focus on two things and say that's it.
Right. So I'm just curious. You lost two city wards to Councillor Tito Jackson, Ward 12 in Jamaica Plain and 11 in Roxbury. Was close in Ward 19, but just specifically regarding those folks, I mean, you very eloquently in your victory speech said you want to build a city that's truly for all of us. How would you particularly, what do you have to say to those folks in particular?
I mean, I think I continue to go out there. I mean, I think one of the wards was Councillor Jackson's ward. So expected him. He should have won that ward. I mean, he's been representing them since 2011. I think parts of 19, I mean, we have work to do out there, and I'm going to continue to be out in the streets. I have been. I've spent a lot of time in those neighborhoods. I'd argue that I spent more time in those neighborhoods than even Councillor Jackson over the last 4 years, and I'm going to continue to be out in those communities and building relationships up and building trust up. There's a lot of challenges. In Ward 19, housing is one of the issues. You know, housing in general, people don't want housing being built in the community in a lot of Ward 19. It's not even just building low-income housing. So we have challenges in some different neighborhoods as well. I mean, if we want to continue to build housing for the poor and for the working class, we need to find locations to build it. And some neighborhoods don't want it. So we have some work to do, opportunities for economic development, opportunities in different parts of the city as well. I mean, I think what I do with these numbers now is I sit down, I haven't done it yet, I sit down and I look at the numbers in the city of Boston, and I look at the neighborhoods where I did well and look at the neighborhoods where I didn't do so well. I start to look at the issues that are concerning the folks in those neighborhoods, and we get to work on it.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, and for the people listening, you know, I won 20 out of 22 wards of the city. So when people think about this, it's, you know, just so they know, and the campaign did win 20 out of 22 wards, and in the communities of color, we won those communities in this race as well.
Yeah. You know, I don't necessarily want to sort of rehash the campaign because we want to look forward. But there's one thing I do want to ask you about, something that Councillor Jackson did say repeatedly as he was campaigning before election night. You know, he talked about, you know, he told me several times that he thinks the mayoralship, the office of the mayor in the city of Boston, not you specifically, but the office itself, is too powerful, right? I mean, you heard him talk about how he wants to increase power at the city council, how he wants to have an elected school board, things like that, how he wanted to take apart what was once called the BRA. Do any of those ideas seem interesting
to
you?
No, they don't. I mean, first of all, the power of the mayor, I mean, basically what he was saying is that the city council doesn't have the ability to move as a legislative body forward, and that's not correct. And I think that, you know, when I was a state representative, a couple of times I was there, I was not in leadership, and I was able to accomplish by building relationships up. So it's about building relationships. He talks about dismantling the Boston Planning and Development Agency. We have states and cities from around the country coming to look at our model to say this model is incredible. We have the best economic growth, one of the most active economic growth in the history of our city, and here you want to dismantle it. That doesn't make any sense. That's not the way to move forward. He talked about police overtime and putting more police on, reducing overtime. It's not that simple. And in his budget, quite honestly, he put a budget forth that actually cut money in education, that didn't increase money in education. And again, I think that some of this stuff is, when I think about it, you know, the reason why we went into the Boston Redevelopment Authority and we spent $600,000 was actually to make changes, and we've been recognized both by press editorial boards and by the public for the changes that we've made there. And we're going to continue to make sure there's a transparent process. On hiring, I heard the council criticize us on hiring, saying we're not transparent. Anybody can go to the cityofboston.gov website. I have a a data dashboard that's real time of the diversity in the city. So I don't know how much more transparent we can get. So there's a lot of things we're going to continue to work off of.
Yeah.
But I think the council, in a lot of ways, I think he was, you know, grasping at straws in some cases.
Yeah. You know, look forward with me a little bit, because one of the I think kind of exciting but challenging aspects of this next term for you is that, as you were mentioning earlier, the city is undergoing tremendous growth. I mean, that there's a lot of opportunity there, but the challenge feels like, you know, how do Bostonians help direct that growth in the right way so that everyone benefits from it?
Well, I think I'm going to go back for you. Yes. We had a master planning process, Imagine Boston 2030, master planning the future of the city. We had over 11,000 Bostonians part of that conversation. We had a transportation conversation where over 6,000 Bostonians were part of the conversation. It's the first time in I can remember Bostonians being part of creating a vision for the city. We tackled chronic veterans homelessness, where we ended it last year. We've housed 1,200 chronically homeless people in the city of Boston in the first term. We're permitted 22,000 units of new housing. We've changed the inclusionary development, which is the affordable component, from 13% to 18% in the city, and we've been able to net $57 million in more money this year for affordable housing. We're able to pass the Community Preservation Act that in 2001 the city tried. They couldn't do it. They did it. We did it in 2016. So I think this campaign, I mean, unfortunately, my friend and my challenger was focusing on negative all day long and didn't talk about positive. And there's, you know, there was no acknowledgement that we did anything right. A lot of great things have happened. Now what we have to do moving forward is, how do we increase that? How do we increase that production of workforce affordable housing? How do we continue to double our efforts and continue to make great gains in our schools? How do we make sure that, you know, when we talk about the environment, that we truly are protected? How do we make sure that we truly have a strong bike infrastructure? All of that will come off of a good economy, but we also have to keep an eye on, if the economy goes down and we're faced with cuts at a federal level or state level, how do we handle that? So, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot that we're preparing for. That's why when I say a day at a time, you take this at a day at a time, because I could have all the fancy plans in the world, and if the economy goes down, that could seriously change the way we make investments for a little bit.
Well, one day at a time together, right?
Yes, no, absolutely.
Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Look forward to continuing the conversation.
No, thank you. Thank you very much, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.